Grace you in peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. After Jesus was arrested by the temple guard who had been sent by the chief priests and the elders, he was taken to the home of the high priest where he was to be tried and sentenced to death for his crimes of blasphemy. Then, any other crime that they could think to make stick. The only problem was that even with their trumped up charges, they still couldn't find even two liars who would agree on a lie that they could then wash their hands of Jesus' death as if they had any guilt in it at all. And finally, after finding nothing which they could actually charge Jesus with, the high priest asked Jesus directly, "Tell us if you are the Son of God, the Christ." And Jesus answered, "Yes, it is as you say." Which was all they needed to charge him with blasphemy. For in their minds, anyone who claimed to be the Christ, the Son of God, must surely be a liar and a blasphemer. Which would be true for anyone but Jesus. But since they would not accept Jesus as the Messiah, they could not accept him as God's Son. And thus he must be a blasphemer, and thus he must die. But they had made up their minds to kill Jesus long before these words were ever spoken. And thus this so-called trial was merely a pretense for them to justify their actions. Actions which were clearly against even their own laws. Laws which they so carefully tried to order their lives by. And since they now, by Jesus speaking, had this indisputable evidence of Jesus' blasphemy, now they could rightly sentence him to death. And then could bring him to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor over Judea, that then he might legally sentence Jesus to death and have that sentence then carried out. The only trouble was Pilate could find no legitimate reason to execute Jesus. Jesus hadn't broken any Roman laws, nor did he appear to be any real threat to Rome. And thus, Pilate sought to release him. But at the persistent urging of the crowds were being egged on and persuaded by the chief priests and the elders, Pilate finally relented and gave in to their requests to have Jesus crucified. But wanting no part in the blame or responsibility for Jesus' death, Pilate washed his hands and claimed that he was innocent of Jesus' blood. To which the people responded, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." And it was. And it would be, in more ways than they could possibly imagine. I was playing pickleball some weeks back, and my doubles partner and I were beating some other men rather badly. And the two men started getting a little bit frustrated, and they started getting snippy with each other. And at one point, the one man called out to the other man, "Your ball!" Because the shot was hit right to him on the court. And after the point was over, the second man said to his partner, "I know it's my ball. I don't need you to tell me that it's my ball." In other words, it completely goes without saying that it's my ball if the ball is hit right to me. And so it is that it completely goes without saying that Jesus' blood was on the hands of the chief priests and the elders and such. They were the ones who hated Jesus. They were the ones who plotted and planned to kill Jesus. They were the ones who finally had him arrested. Well, kidnapped, really. They were the ones who had him falsely tried and convicted. They were the ones who bound him and brought him to Pilate and then clamored for his execution. Pilate didn't even know who Jesus was. So, of course, it goes without saying that Jesus' blood was on their hands. And his blood is on our hands, too. For though we weren't there in the flesh, we were there in the spirit. In that it was for us and for our sins that Jesus found himself in that position in the first place. Scripture states that the wages of sin is death. But Jesus had no sin of his own for which to die. And so Paul tells us, 2 Corinthians 5, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Isaiah stated, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Had it not been for our sin, Jesus would have never had to come to this earth to die. And so in a very literal sense, his blood is on us and on our children too. But thank God it is. For it's by his blood on us and over us and in us that we are forgiven and that we are saved from the deathly wages of our sin. It's by his bloody wounds that we are healed. St. Paul states that we are justified before God by Jesus' blood. Peter said that we were not bought by God with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus. John wrote that it is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sin, and that it's by being covered over by the blood of Jesus that our robes, used as a metaphor for our lives, are made to be white. So you see, while Jesus' blood is on our hands, and it's absolutely true that we bear the guilt and the blame and the responsibility for his death, it's also true that we are forgiven of our sins and cleansed for eternal life because we are covered over by Jesus' blood. His blood is on us, not only as a reminder of our sin, but also as the assurance of our salvation. Thanks be to God that Jesus' blood is on us and on that of our children too. To God be the glory. Amen.